At this time, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew. That is where we were last week in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. We're going to go back there, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 14. Matthew 24, 3 through 14. And again, I read out of an NASB Bible. There's NASB Bibles in your pews, or I will have it up here on the screen. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 14. Part of something we call the Olivet Discourse. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting at verse number 3. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come." We'll stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, a lot of prophecy here. And Father, I certainly want my words to be something that you want me to say, something that will lead all of us into the truths that you want to present to us here today. I just trust, Lord, that your word will just penetrate our heart, and it will give us a sense of joy, knowing that you got this. We're in end times or not, Lord, you got this and you got us. Let us rest in that. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This is our fourth week in this series that I have titled, "Are We in End Times?" It's a question that people have been asking for 2,000 years. And if we're still here in another 1,000 years, they'll still be asking the same question. Are we in end times? But let's talk about that. And today we're going to talk about the Olivet prophecies. Last week we looked briefly at the five different views of eschatology. More than likely, you are probably in the category called a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial dispensationalist. Boy, that's some big words. You probably favor the Left Behind series, if I just put it that simple. That's probably where you're at. I am not there anymore. If there was one thing of theology that I have changed my mind on since I started here, it's been how I think of eschatology. I am no longer a premillennial, pre-tribulation dispensationalist. I am now an amillennialist, and I'm going to be teaching this series from that point of view. And we're going to be looking more at the different views in future weeks, not so much today. But what I'm going to talk about today, probably the dispensational view, pretty much agrees with everything that I'm about to say. Last week we looked at the Olivet Discourse, that long talk that Jesus gives when he answers two questions that the disciples ask him while they're sitting on the Mount of Olives two nights before the Last Supper. And those two questions were this: tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And last week we answered the first question. When will these things happen? And these things meant when Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. And we answered that by saying that was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Some prophecies from the Olivet Discourse we know were fulfilled by the destruction of Jerusalem. We know these for sure. Number one, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down, Matthew 24:2, fulfilled by the destruction of Jerusalem. Number two, Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies, Luke 21:20, check, fulfilled. Jerusalem trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, Luke 21:24, check. And the disciples will be delivered to the courts, be flogged in the synagogues, will stand before governors and kings, check. Now, when we say disciples, we don't mean just the 12 apostles. We mean anybody who was followers of Jesus. Did this happen to them? Absolutely, that happened to them, culminating with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But next, what I want to look at is this. There are several prophecies that are listed in the Olivet Discourse passages that are proleptic. Now, there's that word we learned last week. In other words, what does proleptic mean? It means that they apply to the destruction of Jerusalem, and they could also apply to end times. They could apply here and the end times, destruction of Jerusalem, or they could apply both. They could apply either or. So I'm going to go over four of the prophecies that I consider, and an amillennialist would consider, proleptic. Do they refer to the destruction of Jerusalem? Yeah, probably. Do they refer to end times? Yes, probably. So let's look at those four. And I'm going to go into more detail on each of these. But let's look at them first, how they applied to the destruction of Jerusalem. Number one, this is in Matthew 24:15. He says that the abomination of desolation is going to be in the holy place. Now, if you look in your bulletin on the inside in the right-hand column, I give you some historical facts about some things that happened back in those days. And I got a little chart up here. We know we have there's our timeline. We have the cross at 30 AD. In 40 AD, Caligula, who was the Roman emperor at that time, he issued a decree ordering the erection and worship of his statue in the temple. Well, praise the Lord for King Agrippa, who we find in the book of Acts. He kind of talked Caligula out from doing this. So Caligula did not set up his statue in the temple. However, in 70 AD, there was a Roman general whose name was Titus. Him and his army, they all entered the temple, and they all carried away all the temple vessels that were there. To the Jew, that would have been an abomination, because you just don't enter the temple. So, could this prophecy have been fulfilled in 70 AD? Yeah, we could say so. An abomination of desolation was in the holy place, fulfilled. The next one. And you notice I have a P beside each one, meaning they are proleptic. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You got to remember what happened in 70 AD. The whole city was under siege. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. You were probably going to starve to death. There could be some things that people will do when they are brought to the point of absolute desperation. What would that be? If it's my life or the life of my brother, guess whose life I'm going to be concerned about a little more? Mine. Will brother betray brother to death? Absolutely, that happened. Would fathers even betray their own children? Yes, not only did they betray their own children, but they did even more horrible things to their own children. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. When it's your life or somebody else's life, whose life do we think about more? Our own. We do. So all those prophecies certainly came true at the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Number three, you will be hated by all because of my name. You got to remember, Christians were a new sort of people back then. The Jewish people did not like Christians. The Gentiles did not like Christians. The only people who liked Christians were Christians. Were they hated by all because of my name? Absolutely they were. Fulfilled in 70 AD. And then the fourth one, the gospel preached to all nations. Now we got to be careful here now. We are 21st century Americans. We know what everything looks like on the face of this earth. We have all the technology. Back then, all nations only went but so far. There was only a known world at that time. So to them at that time, the gospel had been preached to all of the known nations. So all four of these prophecies were certainly fulfilled by the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Now, let's move on to, can these also apply to end times? And the answer to that is going to be yes. Now, you're probably asking the question, Mike, do you personally believe we are in end times? Let's look at nine prophecies, and I'll let you figure that out for yourself. Me, I think there's a very strong possibility that we are. As we look at these nine prophecies coming up, we're going to look at these four again because I believe they are proleptic, and then we're going to look at five more that Jesus gives there on the Mount of Olives in the Olivet Discourse. Let's look at each one. We've already seen that slide. Number one, and again, all these are going to be applied to end times, okay? These are some things that most people who are into eschatology believe are going to happen at the end of the world. Number one, the abomination of desolation is in the holy place. We talked about that from 70 AD, but will it happen again? Well, the book of Revelation tells us that there is a person called the beast. Some people refer to this person as the Antichrist. And it is believed that the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple. Now, the dispensationalist would say this, the beast or the Antichrist is an actual person, and this person will set himself up in the actual temple. Now, which will be in Jerusalem. But we know this. Right now, there is no temple in Jerusalem. Does that mean one might be built? Perhaps. So they're looking at this strictly as a literal thing. There will be a person who will set himself up in the temple, and this person will be called the abomination of desolation in the holy place. But I'm an amillennialist. We symbolize a lot of things. I look at it this way. The abomination of desolation could easily be a very destructive religious system and not necessarily a person. So where is this religious system going to set themselves up? They're going to make religion look like something that everybody wants. It's going to be a religious system. Is it going to be in a physical temple? No. What does the Bible tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? We are the temple of what? The Holy Spirit, right? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Could it mean that the abomination of desolation is a fake and false religious system? And I'm going to have to answer that. Yes, I believe it could be. Could it be literal? Yeah, it could be literal too. I look at it more of a symbolic type thing. But the third one that I have down here, the man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, I believe, or maybe 1 through 13, is a very, very critical part of eschatology. Now, I'm going to mention it now, and I'll mention it at the end of this sermon. This Wednesday, I'm going to be putting up the midweek message. It's a message that I delivered on this some time ago, and I'm going to put it back up there because I get into depth about everything that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which talks about the man of lawlessness, talks about the temple, talks about a lot of different things. So this Wednesday's message is going to be very critical goes in conjunction with everything we're talking about here. So the abomination of desolation, yes, I believe that that is something that we will see at end times. Number two, brother will betray brother to death and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. Now, what I want us to think about from this point forward is the society that we live in today, and we're trying to answer the question, are we in end times? So the question has got to be, do we see any of this today? I believe we see the total collapse of the family unit today. Brother against brother, father against children, children against parents. We live in a society, my friends, where the family unit is all but disappearing. Moms and dads really don't care about their children anymore. Brothers and sisters don't care about each other anymore. We live in a narcissistic society today. And I have a little prop here because society is concerned a lot about doing this. These are now called what? Selfies. That's right. Where do we spend our time? If we're not taking pictures of ourselves, we are spending a whole lot of time on this thing called our iPhones and iPads because we are, what happened? Because we, holy crow, did that thing go all the way back? Because we are a society that is concerned about one thing, ourselves. So will brother betray brother? Absolutely. Will parents be against children? Absolutely. Will children be against parents? Yes. All that will happen. I believe we see that happening in our society here today. So that's prophecy number two. Prophecy number three. Do we see this in our society? We will be hated by all because of my name. From Mark 13:13 and Luke 21:17. Christianity, us, we are now considered a hate group. I hope you know that now. We are a hate group because of our views on things like abortion, on LGBTQ issues, and things like that. Because we take a stand on morality, we are now a hate group. People hate us. They do. We are hated. And because we are hated, get ready for persecution. We've had it quite easy, probably all of our lives. I see things getting a lot worse with Christianity being persecuted as the years move on. Why? Because people don't like that we stand for this. It's coming, folks. It's coming. And this prophecy, I believe, is getting fulfilled more and more as the days go on. You know, there was a time in our American culture when People talked about Christians and church. Even television programs had good moral values to them. I don't believe television programs today have really good moral values to them any longer. So get ready, folks, it's coming. And then prophecy number four, and again, these are four of the proleptic ones that I talked about earlier. The gospel will be preached to all nations. Matthew 24:14 and Mark 13:10. Today, we have missionaries all around the world, everywhere. And we have technology that allows us to reach the ends of the globe, the four corners of the earth, with the message of the gospel. I guarantee you could go to places like Siberia, you could go to places in South America, into the remotest places, and all you need is a good connection up to that satellite that's floating about 200 miles above this earth, and you connect and you can hear the gospel message. The gospel is out there to all ends of the earth today. And I read an interesting article this past week talking about missionaries. Do you know that China is now sending out missionaries to the United States? Because I believe we need missionaries. Number five. Now for these next five, these are going to be prophecies that are not proleptic, that do not refer to 70 AD, but refer to today. We're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Jesus says they're the beginning of birth pangs. Well, war has been a constant reality in our world. How many of you remember, I was in third grade and I remember going through the drills where you had to get under your chair because the Russians were going to drop a nuclear bomb on us. So there's always been threats of wars, even throughout our lifetime. It's a constant reality. So the question that needs to be asked is this. The wars that Jesus is talking about, could they be a military type war like we saw in World War I, World War II? And maybe this is a World War III coming up? Yeah, quite possibly. I guess that is a possibility. But could it be, as I have listed here, could it be a war on religion? Could it be a war on Christianity? Not so much a literal war like a military war, but more of a war on religion and the principles that people like you and I stand on. And I believe the answer to that is yes. So hear of wars and rumors of wars. Could it be a war on Christianity? Yes, and we see that in our society today. The next prophecy that Jesus says, there's going to be famines and earthquakes. Again, he says these are the beginning of birth pangs. Well, natural disasters, just like rumors of wars, they're a constant reality in our world today. We hear about them because technology has allowed us to be more aware of such things. Earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes, all those types of things. We are aware of all those things happening in our world here today. Yes, we are going to hear of famines and earthquakes. We're going to hear of these things happening, and they are going to be, again, as Jesus says, the beginning of the birth pangs, which is going to usher in his second coming. These next three, number 7, 8, and 9, now we're getting into the real nitty-gritty, and this is why I think in particular we are in end times. Number 7, false Christ and false prophets showing great signs and wonders, deceiving many. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, in all three of those Gospels. One of my favorite topics to talk about, the people who supposedly represent church, who do not really represent Christianity. Talked about the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. There are people out there who are now claiming to be apostles. And you can be a self-proclaimed apostle and you could rise to that position if you like, if you pay the right amount of money to the right organization. But what does that give them the ability to do? Well, now they are saying that they have the ability to do miracles. They can do miracles. Benny Hinn says he can does miracles. Todd White says he can do miracles. They're all saying that they can perform miracles out there. When I've been saying again and again and again, do I believe that Jesus still does miracles today? Absolutely I do. I don't believe that these guys do. They're a bunch of fakes. They are false Christ and they are false prophets. So do we see that today? Absolutely we see it. The word faith movement out there says that we are little gods. And they would say this, well, if big horses make little horses and big dogs make little dogs, what does God make? He makes little gods. So we are little gods. We are little Christ. And we have the power in our voice to speak things into existence. Yes, they go that far. And of course, we all know about the health, wealth, prosperity movement, where you just name it and claim it, and you just get what you want. So are false Christ and false prophets showing great signs and wonders deceiving many out there? Absolutely. Absolutely. They are out there in this world today. Just turn on your Christian television and you will see them. Number 8 goes right along with it. Many will fall away, but the elect will not be deceived. Matthew 24, verses 10 and 24. We talked about this. There's going to be deception in false preachers, false teachers, and false gospels. So we know that those things are out there. But it says that many will fall away. Of course, many are going to fall away because many of the people who are attending these churches and following these people, they are professors of the faith and not possessors of the faith. Those are two terms that I use quite often in here. They profess, they give the lip service, but do they really possess the faith? Are they really saved? No, they are not. Are they really the elect? No, they are not. The great apostasy, number 3 up there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Again, in this message that you're going to get on Wednesday, I talk about the great apostasy that is listed there in 2 Thessalonians. Paul says this, before Jesus returns, there will be a great apostasy, a great deception, and it will lead many astray. Yes, Paul says it, Jesus says it, and I believe we are seeing it today. But Jesus does say this, the elect, those he has chosen, will endure to the end. We are his. We are his chosen. We will endure. We will not be deceived by all of these false prophets. And that's the first 8. And then we have our 9th one and last one. Because of the increase in lawlessness, most people's love will grow cold. Matthew 24, 12. Do we see this today? Do we see lawlessness today? Do we see people's love, if you want to call it that, growing cold? I have 4 subpoints up underneath there. We see people rioting and destroying things. And are there any consequences for their lawlessness? Absolutely not. So lawlessness is going to be on the increase. Why don't I riot? And why don't I destroy things? Because nothing's going to happen to me anyways. Lawlessness. Point number 2. Speaking of lawlessness, let's just defund the police force. We hear about that in America today. Let's just get rid of the people who enforce the laws. Because what does Jesus say? Because there'll be an increase in lawlessness. We have no police. We have no one to enforce the laws. Oh, I'm sorry. It's going to be the social workers do that. That's right. I've missed that. Sorry. People are lovers of self. Let me get my prop back out here. Excuse me while I take a selfie. People are lovers of self. I'm hitting the wrong button here. Gee, let's get back where we should be. People are lovers of self. This is a narcissistic society we live in. Not just America, all the way around the world. People love themselves. But Jesus says, well, we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And they don't do that. Because if they really love themselves like they do, and they do, they would really love their neighbor, and they don't. Because it's all about me. It's a me society. People are lovers of self. And this is just a little point that I put in here, our last one here. Social media has created a faceless and a loveless society. That's a whole sermon series in itself right there that I'll do someday. But social media, I can correspond to someone I don't even know. And it makes no difference because I'm not sitting right across from them. I don't have to look at them eye to eye. I don't have to worry about them punching me in the face when I say something that offends them because I just don't care anymore what other people think. Because it's not about other people anymore. It's all about me. It's a faceless and it's a loveless society that social media has created. Now, don't get me wrong. Social media has done a lot of good things. I've been off of Facebook for 2 weeks now. Been like the best 2 weeks of my life. But I miss seeing and reading things about people's families and what's going on in other people's lives and the good things. There's a lot of good things on social media. But for the most part, it's faceless. And it's turned loveless. Because what has Jesus said? Because of the increase in lawlessness, most people's love will grow cold. And folks, that's why I believe there's a strong possibility we are in end times. Because this is exactly what we have in our world today. A society that people really don't love anybody anymore. And the lawlessness is on the increase. So, there's 8 of the 9 prophecies up there. And there's nothing good about any of those. Abomination of desolation, either in a literal or symbolic form. Brothers against brother and children against parents. Christians are going to be hated by all. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be famines and earthquakes, and there's going to be false Christs and false prophets, and many are going to fall away from a professed faith, and because of lawlessness, people's love is going to grow cold. There's nothing good about those 8 signs that Jesus says are going to lead up to his return. There is one positive sign, and that is that the gospel will be preached to all ends of the earth. And that is a good thing that is going to happen. So, there you go. That's a lesson on the interpretation of most of the prophetic passages that we find in the Olivet Discourse spoken by Jesus in Mark 13, Luke 21. Some prophecies that he gives refers to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Some are proleptic, they could refer to both. And some refer strictly to the end times, what's going to happen before Jesus returns. And this is kind of eschatology from my point of view. And there are some more prophecies that Jesus speaks in the Olivet Discourse, which refer to the exact day of his return. Some of the things are going to happen when he returns. These are things that are going to happen before he returns. Going to be some things that happen when he returns and which we're going to cover in the weeks to come. Again, a reminder, this Wednesday's midweek message, when you get the link, please listen to it because it really helps solidify some of the points that we talked about here this morning. And next week, we're going to pick up right where I left off here and talk about something the book of Revelation calls the millennium. We'll find that in Revelation chapter 20. And when we talk about the millennium, we will talk about how the 5 different views look at that event, the millennium, in different ways. And we'll be able to learn a little bit more about end times and this thing called eschatology. So, there you go. Let's stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer.